Min?
哈利路亚，我们下午来查考《使徒行传》里头一个重要人物。
Hallelujah, this afternoon we're going to study a very important character in the book of Acts.
那就是记载在保罗他自己有三次他自述他如何的蒙主的光照引领从犹太教归化到主耶稣的神国的福音的行列里头。
This is one of three recordings of how Paul was converted in to believe in Christ and how he joined the rank of preaching the gospel.
使徒行传从一章到十章大概是彼得为重要重心人物来开展神的恩典跟真理的那个规模。
From chapter 1 to chapter 10, it records how Peter, it is mainly focused on how Peter advanced the work of the gospel.
那九章开始就有保罗这个人物出现。
And starting from chapter 9, we see this additional character, Paul.
那大概十二章开始，就十一章，十一章开始以后，就整个是保罗的行传了。
And from chapter 11 on, it records the ministry of Paul.
那这个两个人物就并列成为在初代教会神国福音里头的重要的工人。
And these two apostles were then the two important apostles in the early church.
那历代就把彼得跟保罗的列在重要的这神工人里头来纪念他们。而且来感谢神如何的开展初代教会的局面。
And the people, the believers after that, honor these two people, Peter and Paul, as the most important workers at that time in the early church.
在这两个人的传道信息，我们都称为使徒信息 （apostolic message）。
And so the message that they preached to the people at the time were jointly called the apostolic message.
这很重要，叫 kerygma, K-E-R-Y-G-M-A， 是希腊字，就说是宣扬神的福音这个字的意思。
And the word kerygma means the preaching of the gospel in the apostolic time.
宣讲主耶稣他的复活，还有叫神国的福音，怎么借着圣灵的差遣，圣灵的带领，让人进入到救恩的范围里头来。
And they preached the resurrection of Christ and the gospel of the Holy Spirit in saving people to life.
那这个使徒信息我们可以自己看，在使徒行传前面那个有六段彼得的见证。
And we can study this apostolic message by studying the six speeches of Peter in the beginning of this book.
那么在最后也有六段的保罗的信息。
And after that, we also see the apostolic message as preached by Paul.
综合起来就看到前面彼得是针对的犹太教的信徒。
And if we look at their messages as a whole, we notice that Peter's message was directed at the Jews.
那么后半段的保罗的这使徒信息针对不但是犹太人，也包括外邦人。
And Paul's message was directed not just at the Jews, but also to the Gentiles.
所以说我们查考初代教会信息，可以看出两种互相相辅相成的面向。
And if we study all the apostolic messages, we see that they all work together.
那么在这个保罗这个传道生平里头，他有一个很大的一个转折点。
During Paul's lifetime, there was a very great turning point.
不是说从这个拜偶像的外邦人变成信主的。
He wasn't an idol worshipper.
他是一个非常热心在这个犹太教的这个律法，他的知识跟真理规模上是相当有造就的一个人。
He was a very devout Jew who knew the law and was very sincere to God.
尤其在公元前大概第二三世纪的三二世纪的时候，犹太教面临很大的这个挑战。
In the years at about 200 to 300 years before Christ, the Jewish religion faced a very important crisis.
因为希腊化文化的生活或者思想，慢慢在感染着这很纯正的，就这些犹太教的信徒们。
Because of the Greek way of life, the Greek culture enter into Jewish society, and they were faced with the decision of how to be a true Jew.
那犹太教门就出现一个 Hasidim， 就是一个热心派的，好像 Puritan 那个清教徒那样的人士出来。
And so at the time, there was a movement called the Hasidic movement that was similar to the Puritans for the Christians.
啊，那意思就是说，当时是要抵抗，就是腐败人心的这种外教、外邦生活。
And the purpose of this movement is to defend themselves against these non-Jewish culture.
啊，所以说这个我们就出现就有法利赛人这个教门的出现。
And that's how the Pharisees came about.
那在主耶稣当代，大约有五千个那个法利赛人。
During Jesus's time, there were about 5,000Pharisees.
那当然，保罗也包括在法利赛教门，加玛列大师的引导下的一个名门。
And Paul himself was a very was a student of a very famous teacher named Gamaliel.
那他的成就大概可以从腓立比书可以看出，或他自己是这么说啊，在犹太教门里头的长进的情形。
The extent of how Paul was a Pharisee can be seen by in the book of Philippians, where he described how devout and devoted he was as a Pharisee.
从文化来讲，他是希腊化文化下的人。
According to the culture at the time, he was educated as a Greek educator or Hellenistic.
但是又深根于他的那个犹太教门。
He was educated under the Greek culture, but at the same time, he was very educated as a learned Jew.
所以这是一个传统，传统。就是很热心来维护犹太教、弘扬犹太教的一个人。
He was a very zealous person in defending the traditions of the Jews.
从他的知识跟社会的这个接触面来讲，又是很广泛的，接触到外界很多多元化的思想跟文化。
And he also came in touch with a very wide, a much wider culture, and he was very connected to that culture.
他会说亚兰话，就是好像。希伯来文古典文的在现代语口语化的这个语言就是亚兰语。
He was able to speak Aramaic, which is a modern version at the time of the Hebrew language.
那另外，他对犹太经典，就是古文，就是希腊，就是希伯来文，他也是相当精通。
And he was very well versed in the old Hebrew language.
他又出生在当时地中海三大这个大学中心的其中的一个。
He also was born in a city that was well known for being one of the more three university centers around the Mediterranean.
埃及的亚历山大。
The one of them is Alexandria in Egypt.
一个就是希腊的雅典。
Another is Athens in Greece.
第二个就是土耳其和叙利亚之间的塔苏斯，大苏。
And the third one is the city of Tarsus between Turkey and Syria.
啊，所以他所的这种接触的层面，都是跟这个当时的知识文化有关系。
And so he was able to come in encounter much of the culture of the time.
那他在本身这个犹太教的这个修养方面，也是加玛列第二世在耶路撒冷大师的一个门下的人。
And he was also a student of a very famous Jewish scholar,
Gamaliel
the second.
所以这可以看起来保罗为什么在没有信主以前，他这样的熏陶、这样的养成是有主的美意的。
As we can see, even before Paul was converted to Christianity, he was educated and brought up under God's plan.
所以他是主所预备的，
so he was
外邦福音的一个大使。
So he was prepared by God to be a messenger or an ambassador to the Gentiles.
那我们从哥林多前后书、罗马书或者加拉太书很多书信里头可以看到他的侧影。
And from the books of Romans, First and Second Corinthians, and Galatians, we can see his image.
所以这是一个古代，就是说在初代教会里头，保罗 Paulus 的重要性。
This also explains the importance of Paul.
但是要是没有人来，要是主耶稣，还是有两层。要是主耶稣没有感化他
，But if Christ Jesus didn't touch him.
那没有只呼召他。
And he didn't call him.
那保罗还是保罗。
Paul would have remained the same person.
他不过是犹太教们很多很出名的，像阿基巴，或者其他跟圣经很多同名的这些伟大的律法师其中的一个而已吧。
He would have been recorded in history as one of the very famous Jewish scholars.
你看那 Mishnah 里头很多的名师，或者是其他的Talmud的很多的经典的人物，那不过是其中一个而已。
And he would have been a biblical scholar for the Jews, explaining or expounding the books of the Old Testament.
但是保罗他深切的自己说，就是在他没有出母腹母胎以前，主就选定他了。
But Paul understood later that even before he was born, he was selected or chosen.
已经把他派定在这大地中海世界，当时称为就是说很重要的就是。Greco-Roman period, 就是从公元前三世纪到公元后三世纪，这个很伟大的一个思想，或者是文化非常灿烂的一个时期。
And so he became a messenger to the Greco-Roman world that spanned from 300 years and 300 years before and 300 years after Christ.
要成为主重要的器皿，然后来传扬神的福音。
And he became a very important vessel of God to preach his gospel.
也需要有历史的契机。
And for him to do that, he also needed to exist in the period of history that is conducive.
就是说有神所给的机会。
He also needed the opportunities given by God.
那假设这机会的门关着，那他以后使徒行传就没有保罗这个人物。
If the historical the time period was not conducive to this.His work, then we wouldn't see the work of Paul or the gospel continuing after the book of Acts.
从保罗的受感受召来变成主的门徒，这个过程也相当艰辛的。
Between the time that he was called to be a disciple and until the time that he became an apostle, he went through many things.
可以说是一个挑战和试炼。熬炼 ordeal 的一个时期。
It was a very difficult training or ordeal for him.
就好像要任大任，天将降大任于斯人也，那就要有些。
Because he was to bear such great commission, he had to go through a lot of training.
要劳其筋骨，饿其体肤。
And he had to train himself to be ready for this task.
空乏其身，还有争议其所不能者，也就是说，他都要锻炼身心的熬炼，这样。交煎，这样的，给他经历这样的很艰难困苦的过程。
And he had to be trained both in his body and his mind to undertake this great commission.
所以是历史，会给他考验。
And so he was tested through history.
那是因为主耶稣他主动的呼召。
Because God called him.
但需要有人的配合。
And he also needed to cooperate.
好，所以我们是今天下午是要查考其中有一个人叫亚拿尼亚。
So this afternoon, I would like to study this person named Ananias.
他是在今天的叙利亚首都大马士克斯，大马士的大街上直通上的一个人，一个主的门徒。
He was a disciple of Christ who lived in the city of Damascus on Main Road.
所以这个大马这个亚拿尼亚这个角色等于说开了门引进那个就引进保罗来让他。眼睛瞎掉可以打开。
And he was the person that led Paul in through the doorway of salvation and opened his eyes.
然后就奉主耶稣基督的名来施洗，来除去他的罪。
And he baptized Paul in the name of Jesus to wash away his sins.
那所以说，保罗所需要进入到得救门路的第一关，需要亚拿尼亚来执行。
And this is the first threshold that Paul had to step across. Which was assisted by Ananias.
但是在进入第一关没有再引进到这个后院，或者说到这更内门的话，那他还是停留在外头的。
If Paul had stepped across the threshold, but he did not continue to go into the inner court, he would have just stayed in the middle, in between.
他还是被人家猜忌的一个犹太教皈依为主的门徒的一个人而已。
And he would have been just considered a person who converted from Judaism to Christianity.
因为以后还有另外一个重要人物。
There is another important person after Ananias.
那就是 Barnabas.
That is Barnabas.
他是很勇敢的把保罗带到众人在攻击、在排除，或者说在排挤这个保罗这个人人群当中去的。
Because of Paul's past, he was rejected initially by the other believers. But Barnabas was brave in bringing Paul into the inner court.
所以这个巴拿巴也是有，就是说他有眼识泰山，而且有胆识来迎接艰难困苦的环境。
We can see that Barnabas had foresight and he was brave and was able to endure this hardship.
来排除众议，来引进这人家所反对、所猜忌、所要加害的这个人，变成他们的伙伴们。
He was able to go against the common opinion at the time and of the crowd to lead Paul into the fold.
假定我们不能成为保罗本身。
If we cannot become Paul,
在这个神国的大业上头，我们起码也可以做。这今天下午要讲的亚拿尼亚，或者是以后的那巴拿巴斯。
If we're not able to be like Paul, we can at least try to be someone like Ananias or Barnabas.
他们的优点都让我们好好的深思。
And we can learn from their strength.
那我们今天下午就集中在这个亚拿尼亚这个人的身上。
So this afternoon we'll study the person Ananias.
刚才说过，保罗在公会在众人面前做了三次自己表白，说如何的让主来恩召他。
We mentioned earlier there are three times that Paul stated in front of the council on about why he came to believe in Christ.
这是第九章。
And it was recorded in that.Chapter 9.
第二次是二十二章。
And in chapter 22.
第三次是二十六章。
And chapter 26.
都是有不同的场合做同样的申诉，一样的加强。
And these are three different occasions where Paul proclaimed his conversion.
都肯定几个事实。
And this confirmed several facts.
他如果过去然后一向在逼迫这个主的门徒。
It confirmed the fact that he persecuted the followers of Christ.
以犹太教的热心来逼迫那反犹太教的人进入到基督的这个党群里头，所以那些门徒。
And he was zealous as a Jew and persecuted those who converted to Christianity.
所以他对他来说是很公义的，就是为了这纯正的教的这宗教来热心的。
And to him at the time, he was being very zealous for his faith.
但是他是的确瞎了眼的。
But he was blind.
所以主耶稣就第二步就在他要再继续逼迫门徒的要领壮令的途中主耶稣用光亮光来照耀他。
After he received a letter to persecute believers elsewhere, God shined a great light to blind him.
那这个就是在以后他说光照黑暗里头，也是隐喻着这一段他自己的历程。
And when he spoke later about the light shining into darkness, is referring to his own personal experience.
当然就是哥林多后书四章所说的话。
And that was recorded in Second Corinthians chapter 4.
那我们再看到，除了这个主来恩召他出生，并且指引他将怎么做。
And so after this, that God showed his light on him and instructed him what to do.
那这个是保罗跟主耶稣，虽然他在生，主耶稣没有被钉十字架以前，他不认识，也没有接触过。
Even though Paul never encountered Christ before he was nailed on the cross.
但是就在这个大马士途中，主出生，那也光照着他。
He actually encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, and his light was shined.
那以后，主耶稣就成为灵属灵的样子，圣灵就住在他心头。
And after that, Christ dwelt in him in the form of the Holy Spirit.
有时候他描写，就比如说腓立比书四章十三节，描写主在他旁边加添力量。
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he described that Christ was around him to give him strength.
或者说在使徒行传十六章说，主在异象中跟他讲，你要往马其顿去，往马其顿去。
And in Acts chapter 16, he saw Christ in a dream to tell him to go to Damascus.
那保罗他自己在书信也说，这主耶稣教导他。
And Paul also said that in his letters that Christ taught him.
换句话说，他有很良好的根基，犹太教门的训练更明白神国福音的特质是什么。
In other words, he had a great foundation in the Judaic faith, but at the same time, he had a great understanding of the teachings of the gospel.
而且他的使命是什么？
He also understood what his mission was.
他跟主耶稣很密切的关系，如何的发挥出于世人的面前。
And he was able to take the closeness of his relationship with God to show it to the people.
这个从他保罗自己的自白里头可以慢慢的这这来咀嚼的。
And we can understand this truth by reading his letters.
那刚才提到的亚拿尼亚引他入门。
We mentioned earlier that Ananias brought him into the fold.
后来有巴拿巴的引他进入这个传道人长老们的这个圈子里头。
And later on, Barnabas was the one that led Paul into the circle of elders that preached the gospel.
然后他有机会进入会堂，进入到很多犹太人集结的地方，来勇敢见证他个人的经历。
Afterwards, he was able to enter into the congregations of Jews to preach about his personal experience.
而且他特别把主耶稣基督的名，他是主耶稣是神的儿子，是基督，那介绍给这个犹太人。虽然他遭受到很大的逼迫
，and he introduced the name of Christ as the Son of God to the Jews, even though, in spite of persecutions on him.
所以我们就要知道这使徒信息究竟在传什么啊？大概保罗这几句话就可以说出来的。
And from his words, we can understand what the apostolic message was all about.
那么今天下午要看这亚拿尼亚这个人，圣经怎么说他？
So what does the Bible say about the person Ananias?
而且呢，他所面临的这个难关，也就等于我们信主今天要面临的这困难一样。
And if we look at the difficulty, the obstacles that he faced, we can also examine what obstacles we might be experiencing.
但是像中国说的，疾风知劲草，在大风吹的时候，你能够站立得住。
As there's a Chinese saying that goes, If you have character, you'll be able to stand still in the midst of a great wind.
或者说，人家众人皆昏醉，皆迷惘，或者这时候你有没有胆识，很清楚看清了目标
？And whether you have a great vision in the midst among people who are all drunk.
甚至说你在很多疑惑、不敢大胆进行当中，有主意是说你去，你做。有没有顺从主的话去做啊？排除自己的这种私心呢、啊，或者的胆怯啦、啊，裹足不前的这种情形。
And when you feel that you do not have the courage, but you know what the right thing is to do, can you gather up the courage to do something that is right?
亚拿尼亚的确让我们提供一个美好的典范。
And we can see that Ananias provided a great example for us to follow.
好，我们现在先从第九章对他的描写来看。
So now let us read a description about him in Acts chapter 9.
从第十节。
Starting from verse 10.
他是说称为大马士有主的一个门徒，名字叫Ananias。
It says now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias.
我们知道犹太人的名字都有两个特征。
We know that the Jewish name has two characteristics.
一个就是他出生的情况。
One is they're often named named according to the circumstances that they were born in.
第二个就是他本身这名字有主要他做的这个执行的历史的使命。
And also it carries the mission that God has for that person.
前者比如说有的出生情况像Isaac，就是以撒。
An example for those who are named after their life, the circumstances of their birth is a person Isaac.
因为他出生的时候，他老母亲就欢笑，因为他从前偷笑过，他欢笑，别人也一起替他欢喜快乐。
Isaac was named this way because he, his mother, had joy, at his birth.
那我们再看雅各抓后跟，他不肯他的孪生。哥哥出生就要抓他的后跟。
Jacob was named because he held on to the heel of his brother.
所以机会主义者啊。但是呢，主耶稣在神以后在这个亚伯的渡口给他改名字，叫做以色列。
And but God gave him a new name as he was crossing the brook. It's in Genesis chapter 32.
所以以色列就说, 从此以后, 他跟神跟人的教立的时候, 神会让这个雅各, 或者又改名做以色列,
and he was named as Israel because he was named because he struggled with God and he prevailed. God allowed him to prevail.
所以雅各就变成一个以色列就众十二支派的父亲。
And Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel.
那以后就成全民族的代称了。And
his name became the overall name for the entire race.
虽然以后有北朝也叫以色列。Even
though after that, the northern kingdom was called Israel.
那这个王朝也叫做以色列叫做约瑟。
Israel was also called Joseph.
或者叫做, 以法莲,
or Ephraim.
或者叫撒玛利亚,
or Samaria.
但是都跟以色列没有办法脱离关系的。
These names all represent the northern kingdom Israel.
因为他带着这个十二支派的使命, 神的选民的使命了。
Because these names carry the commission of God.
那我们看亚拿尼亚也是一样。
If we look at the name Ananias,
路加福音也有一对夫妇啊, 蛮让人家欣赏的。
We find that we've seen this name before, for example, in the Gospel of Luke.
依旧说有一对叫做撒加利亚跟伊丽莎伯。
There is a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth.
因为他们是正宗的，在犹太教门下称为虔诚人。
They were devout Jews at the time.
那这个亚拿尼亚也是跟他一类的, 就是犹太教以来的一个很虔诚的人。
And the Ananias there was also one of the devout Jews at the time.
通常在说的 Jewish piety, 这个 piety 这个名称是专门指一个虔诚, 你看圣经讲说虔诚是跟犹太教有关系。
So when we read, we see the word piety in the Bible, it refers to those the people who worship under the Judaic faith.
那也就是说他们很谨守神的命令，典章律例。
It means that they follow God's commandments very carefully.
一切的诫命呢，礼仪了，ritual，那他们都很谨守。
They were also very careful in following all the regulations and rituals.
那第二呢，他因为宗教虔诚关系，他们行为无可指责。
And because they were such devout Jews, that their actions were also blameless.
那这种人就叫做义人，或称为就是虔诚人。
And they were called devout or righteous.
那这跟以后我们所谓的敬虔，或者说敬虔呢，这个 godliness 就有一点差，一样的是以神为中心，但这个意义有一点不一样。
And the word piety was used differently than from the word godliness that is used later.
那保罗书记说练习身体固然有益处，不然操练敬虔更好，来今生来世都有应许的。
Such as Paul said that the bodily exercise benefits your body, but then godliness is even better.
那今天我们假如看到虔诚跟敬虔，就知道哦，原来有这样的含义的。
So today when we read the words piety or godliness, we should be able to tell the difference.
那其实亚拿尼亚就是包含着这，不但在犹太教的训练上来讲是虔诚的。
The person Ananias was trained under the Jewish tradition or religion, and he was blameless.
但自从他信主以后，就变成主眼中的义人，就是说很顺服主，很敬虔的一个人。
And after he converted to Christianity, he became a righteous person in the eyes of God, obedient to Christ.
所以称为门徒是无愧的。
That is why he was called a disciple, and he was blameless.
因为 门徒是 Imago Christi, 就是以主耶稣为效法的中心。
Because a disciple is someone who centered their lives around Christ.
那就主耶稣教训门徒之道 discipleship, 他们都很谨慎来完成。
And whatever Jesus taught them, they were very careful in carrying out those teachings.
所以成为这门徒有这个典故，有这样的一个来由。
And these are the disciples that follow Christ.
那我们来看呢，主耶稣呼唤他，就是在保罗被恩光来照耀，然后有出声说：“保罗，你为什么逼迫我？”
So now let us read the event of how Christ shined a light on Paul and calling him, asking him, why are you persecuting me?
那主耶稣就说，你现在，他暂时瞎了眼，你现在起来往这个大马色城里头去找这个人去，他会就照着我所吩咐他的去向你做的。
And Christ said to him, you're blind, but you can go to the city of Damascus and ask for Ananias who will show you the way.
那这个时候我们可以看到，你这个刚才选在路上发生的事过了以后呢，你看第十节一下。
Let's turn to
使徒行传第九章第十节。
Let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 4.
那这个时候呢，这个门徒就在异象中有主耶稣的声音。
And in this vision, you hear the voice of Jesus.
那就喊着说，亚拿尼亚，那他就说，主啊，我在这里。
He said, Ananias, and Ananias said, Lord, I'm here.
这个就是在从古典以来，你可以看到神对先知的呼召，常常就会直呼他的名字。
Throughout the Bible, we see that when God is calling people, He calls them by their first name, by their name.
譬如说摩西在焚烧的荆棘，那个发热的燃烧的荆棘丛他的前头。
For example, when Moses came in front of the burning bush, God called him.
或者是以后你看以赛亚在圣殿崇拜当中异象中，神也呼召他。
And for Isaiah, when he was worshiping in the temple, God also called him by name.
那是在以赛亚书六章。
And it's recorded in Isaiah chapter 6.
所以说你看到一个很典型神的作为，就神直接呼召，直呼他的名字。
It's very typical of God to call his worker by name.
那另外一个对被呼召的来说，他会很警觉的，很敏感的会回应说，主啊，我在这儿。
And the person responding to God would be very careful and vigilant in saying, Here I am, Lord.
所以你看只有这里一句的对话，一个呼召，一个回应，你就知道他们对神，就这些被呼召的人对神如何的敏感，如何的直接要来应对神的旨意的。
From this very short interaction, we can tell that the people that were called by God were very sensitive to God calling them.
这个我们叫做宗教的敏锐宗教的这敏感。
This is called spiritual or religious sensitivity.
这个是我们所需要的。
And this is something we also need to have.
这从第十节你可以看到这个。
This is what we can learn from verse 10.
那在这里呢，十一节以下就记载主耶稣吩咐亚拿尼亚去找保罗，去找什么名字叫扫罗的，以后叫保罗这个人。
And from verse 11 on, God instructed Ananias on how to find this person named Saul, who was later named Paul.
跟他说，这个扫罗正在祷告，也会看到你，在异象中会看到你，如果被主耶稣带到他的面前来。
And he said to Ananias that in a vision, Saul would see him coming to him.
然后按手在保罗的扫罗的头上。
And he was to place his hand on him.
这个全知的主耶稣也知道保罗在做什么，也知道亚拿应该做什么，就这样的把真相说得很清楚。
Because God was all-knowing, he was able to know what Saul was doing and what Ananias was doing.
那你看哦，在主耶稣这样吩咐以后，那个亚拿尼亚有一点直觉上的这样震撼了一下。
And so upon hearing this, Ananias had a very direct reaction.
原来这个扫罗在这个门徒当中，这名声就臭，就很臭，就招彰的很，恶臭招彰了。
So Paul had made a very bad reputation for himself as a persecutor of Christians.
Notorious, 很臭的一个很坏的一个人。那为什么主耶稣要叫我去找他呢？
And so Ananias was shocked by why God would want him to call this very this person with such notoriety.
所以亚拿尼亚说一句成真的话，直接向主耶稣告白说：“主啊，你叫我去找这个人哦。”
And so Ananias was very honest in his reply to God.
这是对神的诚实了，也是很天真的，把自己本心的需要或者说想到的事跟神陈述了。
And so he was very honest in voicing his concerns.
因为说我听说，请看，请注意看一下。
Let's read verse 13.
请看十三节说，主啊，我听见很多人说， 这个人怎么在耶路撒冷很多多地苦害你的圣徒，并且又听说他从这个大马士大祭司那拿到这个逮捕令，还要变本加厉的来破坏你的门徒啊。
He said that, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.
这个在九章的第一节已经描写了啊，保罗的确如此，要拿这个状令来逮捕基督徒。
And so Paul actually had obtained letters or authority from the central authority in Jerusalem to capture these Christians.
在我们人看来啊，亚拿尼亚的这种陈述啊，这理直气壮，很有道理。
And so from a human point of view, it's very right for Ananias to think this way.
从我们的感性的认识哈，就是我们的感觉上，觉得这个人好相处啊，愿意相处，那你就会喜欢。假定这个人是做为非作歹的，那你就有抗拒感。
It's normal for us to like to interact with people who are good and true and are not good to us, and we shy away from people who do evil things and are not kind.
那何况扫罗现在正在做的是逼迫基督徒，一个很恶臭的行为，这恶心的一个行为。
And Saul had made a bad reputation of himself as persecutors of Christians.
按照人的这感觉和这感受，一定说主啊，不合理的，为什么要引进这个狼犬恶人呢？
And it's natural by human nature to ask the Lord, why are you bringing this thief or this wolf to come among our fold?
我想大部分人会做这样的，看起来很 candid 啊，很直爽的，很正确的。
I believe that many people, it's natural for many people to react in this very candid manner.
到这个地步，大概我们人间会停留这个地，在这个层面就不再说了，不再做了。
And we often stop at this level because of our normal reaction or understanding.
因为我们的感觉呀，就感性认识，就你的感觉就一个抵抗性的坏人，应该抵制的，应该该死的，你为什么要去？
Because our natural reaction is that these are bad people, and so we shouldn't interact with them.
而且从悟性了解上，这个人已经报加害我们很多的基督徒，对我们教会生命是一个残害者，难道还要接纳他吗？
And according to our intellect, we know that this is a person who persecutes the way, and why should we accommodate or accept this person?
但是主耶稣给你是理性的、更高阶层的认知。
But God's understanding, his rationale is even higher than our intellectual understanding.
也就是说，主耶稣的旨意和主耶稣的喜怒啊、喜恶，胜过我们人的感情，胜过我们人的认知。
It means that God's way and his rationale, his way is higher than our emotions and higher than our intellectual understanding.
所以这就在这一句话，我们让我们想到人性，想到我们做基督徒对事情的态度跟反应。
And so this teaches us about how we as Christians should react to events.
你也许记得这个《论语》哈，这个 Analytics， 就是孔子的教导教训里头有四书里头有《论语》。
For example, according to Confucius' teachings in the Analects, that there are these sayings.
里头有就《子罕篇》有一个四个物，四个不要的那物。母亲的母，拉长一点。
There are four things that we shouldn't do.
一个就是，我，这是我。
The first is ourselves.
一个是意，我的意向，我的意思，我的心意。
The second is our will.
一个是固执的固，我本来是这样子，本来是这样子的。
The third is our stubbornness.
再必，一定是这样子，一定是这样的，必然也 inevitable。
The fourth is the inevitability of something.
你是不是我们是不是有这个毛病呢？
Do we make this mistake?
我为中心。
We are self-centered.
从我来看事情。
We see all the matters from our point of view.
我主观最强最好。
And we're opinionated. We believe that our own opinion is the best.
意向说，我这样决定就是这样决定。
And we think that our decision is the best.
本来我固然就是这样子，我本来就这样子习惯，我就这么习惯。
The third is that we we don't want to do it because this is the way we are.
啊，再来就是必是这样子啦，一定是啦。
The fourth is that we prejudge a matter. We think that something is inevitable.
但孔子说勿我。
But Confucius said,
勿我。
We should deny ourselves.
Without egoism. 啊，在勿意啊。
We shouldn't be egotistic and we shouldn't be self-willed.
啊，再来勿固啊，不要那么固执啊。
We should not be stubborn.
一成不变吗？
We should not be unchanging.
然后勿必，一定是这样子的吗？
And we shouldn't be so persistent in our thinking.
的确有道理。在教导学生都用这样的，要客观，要多面性。要再思，再斟酌，难道这重大事件不这么做吗？
When we teach our students, we often want them to be objective and be open-minded in thinking about each matter. But in such a great matter as this, shouldn't we be like this?
更何况像以赛亚书55:8-9说的。
And in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9,
说神的道路，神的意念，不是人的道路，不是人的意念的。
It says that God's way is not our way.
我们神的心思意念不是人的心思意念。
And His thoughts are not higher than our thoughts.
有一个字就是高，高过我们。
Because His ways and His thoughts are higher than ours.
我们在学在徽毫，在画中国画的时候。
When we write Chinese calligraphy, we can experience this.
你看一张这个中国山水画国画。
When you see a Chinese water painting,
请问一下你怎么看呢？
How can you admire it?
你当然会看到有远山呢，有树啦，有空灵的世界 ，void 哈，空灵白的。
You often see a mountain far away with a tree on top, and then you see an emptiness in the middle.
然后你看到近处的小桥流水，或者一个书童跟一个老手拿着拐杖在你的前景。
And you may see a young boy and an old scholar in the foreground.
那你看的时候，中国画没有像文艺复兴以来的或者西洋画的 perspective。还没有那种所谓的纵深哦。
So the in Chinese painting, the traditions is that there's no perspective different from the paintings from the Renaissance period.
那你怎么看呢？
How can you look at this painting?
你上看下看中看都可以啊。
You can look at the background, in the middle section or the foreground.
但是有一个很重要的字眼。
But what's most important in looking at this painting?
就是要远之，你要远。虽然很近，但是你要看得远。
Is that even though you're standing very close to the painting, you need to look from very far away.
而且远不是单单一个字的远。
And not only need to look at it from far away in terms of distance.
你还有一个平远，你看到平的是什么？平面的啊。
You need to also be able to see what is.
但是平面 horizontal, horizontal.
Horizontally.
但是光看水平线的，光平面还不够啊。
And not just to look at it horizontally.
有时候你要像那鹰这样高翔啊，看下来哦，山水树在底下，瀑布在底下。
Sometimes you're looking at the painting as if you have a bird's eye view.
那你还看到底下去，这大千世界尽在你脚下。
And you're looking at the figures from above.
那这个时候你是高超的，你算是超越的。
If you're able to look at these paintings from this perspective, then you have transcended this.
但是你又离这个物质世界太远了，这个要欣赏这个画的世界太远。
At the same time, you don't want to be too far away from this painting and this world.
所以这个时候叫深远，这样深远的看进去。
And you need to look at it very deeply.
所以平远、高远、深远是你看国画的三个原则。
And so the three principles of admiring a Chinese water painting is to look at it horizontally from above and to look at it deeply.
你对保罗事件是用什么眼光看的？
So how do you judge this situation of Saul being
called by God? 你
是用
远的那个有那个把它 detachment， 然后用那个客观的远离的态度来看他，还是情绪的卷入在反对他的人群当中？
Are you able to look at this matter from a very far away perspective, very long range perspective, or are you looking at it as the people at the time?
你要从神的更高、更这个宏就宏大的这种眼光来看它。
You need to look at this matter from God's perspective.
因为主要用他。
Because God wants to use him.
他虽然是坏人，可是他变成好人了。
Even though he was a bad person, he became a good person.
那不但如此，你还要从深的这层来看。
Not only
不是只有现在而已。
You need to look at this matter on a deeper level and not to just look at the present moment.
对，不是从表面的、现今的，你要从深的立场来看。
You shouldn't look at each matter superficially, but to look at it in a long range kind of.
所以你在看这个人和判断这个事情，你从亚拿尼亚的反应，你就可以学到很多东西。
We can learn about a lot of things by Ananias' reaction and to reflect on our judgment of people and matter.
那另外我还感触最深就是亚拿说的这句话。
And what I felt very deeply was also how Ananias replied.
我听见很多人说。
He said, I heard that many people said.
我听见很多流言，很多传闻。
I heard many hearsays.I heard many opinions.
啊，这是人间的这争乱哈，人间的纷争的一个最大的一个祸首啊。
And these judgments, opinions, and hearsays are culprits of many conflicts in this world.
我们常说中国俗语说，你站着说话腰不疼啊，不酸啊。哦，最简单说，就你说话不负责任啊，那就随便说。
There's a Chinese saying that you don't have to pay for you don't have to pay for anything that you say.
但是你对语言跟意义，就是 language and meaning， 对这两个字眼在深入在考察的时候。
But when you study the meaning and the language of each saying, the language and meaning of each saying，
这变成语义学上 semantic 很重要的一个两个重要的字眼。
These are very important terms in the in semantics.
语言。就它有指的就这东西、啊、我们叫 signifying 指向的指称、啊、signify 还有一个是被指称的代表这个物质本身或是这个观念的本身 signify 的、啊、加 ed
So you can use the language to signify something to indicate something、啊、and there's things that are described or being signified
但是你的话语你的或是你的想法所也出来的语言不一定一样的
But the words that you speak may not be the same as what you're thinking.
因为你的指称跟被指称代表的事情，在第三人和第二人不跟你不一样的。
Because what you're thinking, what you're trying to describe, for example, you're describing or signifying something, and you're describing something being signified in the hearer's mind, they represent different things.
但是很多人就是容易从人的话来传话，不知道是话语本身意义是不是真的是真传，是真正代表意义。
But as words are being passed on and hearsays are being spread around, it is often the true meaning of what the original speaker is saying is lost.
而且呢，你一个传话当中会加油加酱，就越来越厉害。
As people are spreading words around, things become more serious or severe.
好像我们从前说过，一个这个哥本哈根一只公鸡早上一叫，它的羽毛掉了一两根羽毛。
For example, there is a story that there's a chicken that a rooster that crowed in Copenhagen, and he lost two feathers.
那隔壁的母鸡就说：“我跟你说啊，隔壁那老公啊，他震到一个翅膀的叫一唱天下白，我要黎明了，他掉了一半身的羽毛了。”
And so the hen next door to this rooster said to her husband that when this rooster crowed, my neighbor, he lost half of his feathers.
那第三个公母鸡又听到啊，这回事啊，又一根传言啊，你知道吗？那家母鸡啊，公鸡啊，早上一震啊，整个这样翅膀旁边都没毛了。
And so this hen told a neighboring hen saying that. And she said to somebody else that that when this rooster crowed, all his feathers fell off.
三到四，四到五，到六到一百，是那天晚上，哥本哈根的母鸡们都传着一句话。
And after one hen passed the words to another, until you know many many hens later, all the hen in Copenhagen that night said.
因为他们都传着说，那当天早晨。一只公鸡住在那里的公鸡一叫，全身毛都脱光了，掉光了。
by the end, they thought that the rooster crowed and he lost all his feathers.
这个就是流言的可畏。
This is the scariness of hearsay.
因为就很多不真实的成分加进去，很多渲染的、夸大的 exaggeration 都加进去的。
Because many things get exaggerated by being passed around.
所以有时候一个好人，他做了一点点，变成一个大罪人一样。
And sometimes a person could do a small good deed, but then he, after many hearsays, he became the greatest sinner.
本来要来聚会，但听到那么多谣言，那他心灰意懒，那就绝他的路了。
And originally he was going to come for service, but after he heard such bad things about himself, he dare not come.
那就听到的非议，流传的这个流言了，那他心灰意懒。
And because of all these hearsays, it became an obstacle for this person.
所以在文学批判上，我们称叫 叫做 heresy or paraphrasing。你再说一次，再说一次，已经离开原来的正宗的那本题了。
And in literature, in the literary world, it is called the heresy of paraphrasing.
你因为一传都失真，再传失真。
Every time you pass words on to the next person, you lose some meaning.
但是我现在我们就回到这亚拿尼亚说的。
So now let us come back to the words of Ananias.
他说的有几番真实。
What he said was true.
但是有很多人就因为这样变成来引进一个本来在犹太教热心被主耶稣恩召愿意加入在门徒的行列变成一个绊脚石。
But it, many people would, upon hearing this, would have stumbled because Saul was a person who persecuted Christians. But this way, it would have prevented Saul from becoming an important worker.
当正在亚拿尼亚有可能说几分真实，但是又有的流言，或者有些又要戒备这个人，这样心防的时候，主耶稣跟他开窍。
And when Ananias said these words, showing that he was trying to be careful, God said this to him.
那这一段也值得我们学习。
And this is something we can learn from.
刚才说的误我、误意、误故、误避，那现在完全在主的这样命令下消除掉了。
And because of God's commandment to or commands to him, he was able to get rid of his prejudices.
亚拿尼亚，你虽然这么听。你虽然听了这个
，And the Lord said, or He meant that even though you heard this,
这个意思就是说，
even though you heard these rumors,
你只管去
，still go.
因为主的指示要高过一切你听的东西。
Because my way is higher than your way, and the things that you have heard.
你只管去，他因为他是我所拣选的器皿，在外邦人、君王、以色列面前要宣扬我的耶稣，我耶稣的名。
The Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.
何况他要为我的名来受很多的苦。
For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
请看十七节。
Let us read verse 17.
亚拿尼亚一言不发，他就去了。
And Ananias went his way and entered the house.
只有说他就去了。
He didn't say anything else, he went.
很多人会做抗辩，会申诉，会做合理化。
Many people will try and reject or try and refuse to go or argue with God.
但是主耶稣说你只管去。
But God said to him, go.
那亚拿就只管去。
And Ananias went.
他就去了。
He went without questioning God.
本来我们可以从这段领出很多的道理。
And from here we can learn many lessons.
亚拿尼亚为什么虔诚人义人有什么好的结果？
Why was called Ananias a righteous person?
把扫罗他本身如何的臭名昭彰，但是主耶稣的恩待他，选召他。
And he received a good end. And Saul, even though he had, he was notorious, but God called him.
那主耶稣说亚拿尼亚呼召的时候，他马上说：“主啊，我在这儿。”这样的非常亲密的、非常密切的这个主跟门徒的关系。
When God called Ananias, Ananias answered right away, Here I am, Lord, to show that he was very close to God.
每个门徒假定说主我在这儿，你在呼召我，我去。就像亚拿尼亚，就像以赛亚一样。
How good would it be if all the believers can answer God this way, such as him or Isaiah?
所以今天教会需要一个我去，不管你在什么岗位，你做主的工作。
Today in our church, we need more people like him who is willing to say, I will go.
不一定在讲台上做传道人。
And these people don't necessarily have to be preachers on the pulpit.
你的文笔、你的歌喉、你的手脚都可以服侍主。
You can serve God with your pen, with your voice, and with your hands.
用你的语言、用你的环境、你的就学的机会来服侍主。
You can use your language, the opportunities that you have or where you go to school.
你听到很多留言。
To serve God. You've heard many hearsays.
你有没有想说主啊，是这样子吗？
Have you questioned God to confirm whether it is true or not?
难道没有反就是翻转的机会吗？没有变成你要转这个，就是说转这个消极为积极的这样的因素吗？
Are there opportunities for God to turn a bad situation into a good one?
所以你再看这个事情，从平原、高原、深远来看保罗事件。
We need to use a horizontal vision. a vision from high up, and to have a vision of depth to look at the event of Paul's conversion. Then we can be devout and wise.
那当主有使命给我们，我们马上说我在这儿。
And when God has a special mission for us, we can answer quickly, saying that Lord, I am here.
我们也体认到刚才英文说的 heresy or paraphrasing。你传言一定变成异端，因为 不真实了，失真了。
We also have to be mindful, and we just learn about what's called the heresy of paraphrasing. It means that whenever you pass words along, it will turn sour.
所以流言止于智者，你是聪明人，就不会再说那些人家传闻的话。
And if you're a wise man, you will stop these hearsays.
那以主耶稣旨意为最高的原则。
And this is the and we also need to consider God's way as the highest way.
好，我们今天下午就见证到这。
And this ends today's testimony.
唱诗358首。
Let us sing hymn 358.